الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وإمامنا، عليه وعلى آله أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: من كان يريد حرث الآخرة نزد له في حرثه، ومن كان يريد حرث الدنيا نؤته منها وما له في الآخرة من نصيب. صدق الله العلي العظيم. وقال نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام: لن يشاد الدين أحد إلا غلبه، أو كما قال عليهم الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama kiram, my dear respected elders, brothers in Islam, firstly, I enjoin upon all of you, including me, to adopt a life of taqwa. For indeed, in adopting a life of taqwa lies the success of both the world. Let us also remind ourselves that we as Muslims, when we live in this world, we live here preparing ourselves for an everlasting journey in the hereafter. This world is a preparatory stage to prepare ourselves for hereafter, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting to reward those pious people. And this is how we distinguish ourselves amongst the others who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We distinguish ourselves by preparing for akhirah, while those people who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have taken this place as a place of enjoyment and relaxation. Sadly, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, it seems like the devil, the shaitan, is trying to deviate us and make us forget the true purpose of life. He is trying to make us live like those who disbelieve. He is trying to make us live like how we desire. And this is why we have started to shun the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have started to shun the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eventually become sinful, and also, end of the day, earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is because we forgot akhirah. It is because we forgot the hereafter that Muslims across the globe is going through various unrest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to give us a message and say, you know what, you are going off track, come back to the straight path again. This is a message, this is a warning that you might even get worse. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. So the problem, it stems from there. We forget the akhirah, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting us through so many tests and unrest. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, it is essential for us to understand that a part of our community, it is involved in a lot of sinful activity. The younger generation especially, the younger generation today, subhanallah, there is nothing that they can think about except those that are haram. According to certain reports of different parts of the world, it is identified that when it comes to sinful activity, Muslims are right on the top. Whether it be clubbing, whether it be fornication, adultery, drinking or whatever, whatnot, whatever sin is there out there, Muslims are on top of it, committing it right there. Muslims are in the front line committing it. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this makes really so much sense, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the spending power. He has blessed us with the spending power which He has not blessed anyone out there. We can see that for ourselves, how much we have been blessed with this power. Why do we need to use this power for the evil and earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? My respected brothers and elders in Islam, remember, if we are to earn the anger and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while using these blessings, remember that He will snatch it away from you. But when He snatches it away, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never give that blessing back to you. He will never give it back again. It is not like taking something away, snatching it away, taking it away from you, pulling it off from you. What if He does that to us? All the wealth that we use, let us use it for the right purpose, in the right way, inshaAllah ta'ala. Let us not get distracted by the shaitan's efforts and get misled. It is his job. Shaitan, you know what his job is? His job is to beautify all what is there in this world for people to get distracted. That is his job. Let us not get distracted for these efforts done by shaitan. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, let us not hurry by choosing this place as an enjoyment like those disbelievers do and end up in the hereafter regretting and so much of pain, inshaAllah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fact protect us all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the Creator, the Sustainer, the Cherisher, the Nourisher, He promises us in the Quran and He says,
وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَىٰ.
Indeed, the hereafter is much better than the dunya. He promises it to you. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also in an authentic narration, he said that it is the hereafter, it is مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. The hereafter, Jannah, is going to be such that it is what eyes have never seen of, وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ, what ears haven't heard of, وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, and it is what hearts and minds can't even think or imagine of. Let us prepare ourselves for that day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises. What more do we want? Allah promises that He will give this to you, so that we can prepare ourselves for the hereafter in this world itself. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, so let us tread in this worldly life. Let us work with akhirah, with the hereafter in our mind, so that we don't get distracted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He says, the ayah that I recited to you in the beginning, subhanallah, what does He say? He says, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ نَزِدْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِهِ. Whoever intends to attain the harvest of the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for him to attain the harvest of the hereafter. He increases the harvest. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. But as for the person who strives and works to achieve the harvest of this dunya, we will give them the harvest of this dunya. Those people enjoying out there, don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with them and they are enjoying. Allah says that He will give them the enjoyment there, in this world. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. But in the day of judgment, in the hereafter, they will not have any excuse, they will not have any portion of rejoice. Subhanallah. Await that moment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So by us reminding ourselves about akhirah very constantly, how we benefit ourselves is that we can strictly limit ourselves to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us. Just to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us. If we have akhirah in our mind, remember that we can always be focused about what will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fact grant us clarity about the purpose of life. And may He also keep us in the straight path, like how He kept those five predecessors in the straight path. Ameen. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, just as how we reminded ourselves about akhirah, let me also remind that it doesn't mean that we should completely forget about this world. It doesn't mean that way. We need to be moderately thinking about akhirah and the dunya as well. This is something another group of people do. What does this group of people do? They involve in all the ibadah and they are not involved in anything other than what they typically call an ibadah. like prayer, like fasting, like other acts of worship. Every single time you see them doing something, it is an act of worship. It is in the masjid. They make their deen look strict upon them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is not a teaching from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the hadith that I reported to you in the beginning, what did he say? He said, لَنْ يُشَادَ الدِّينَ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا غَلَبًا. No one can make the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more stricter. If he does that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the religion overcome him, destroy him, and put him down. He will not be, in other words, he will not be able to practice that extremism. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he insisted us to work towards akhirah and also work towards living a good life in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget your portion in this dunya. Some people think that you should work for akhirah, akhirah, akhirah. But what about this world? You need to live here. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frequently involved in dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking him, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Subhanallah, amazing dua. This dua is also mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also used to ask this dua frequently. What did he used to ask? رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. O Allah, grant us in this world a good life. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. And meanwhile, a good life in the akhirah as well. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And protect us from the hellfire. Subhanallah. This is moderation. This is what we need to work towards. Look at an incident that happened in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. Amazing. It motivates us to also work towards having a good life in this world. One day, Umar radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa in his time, he walked into the masjid at noon. You know, noon is known as peak business hours. When people used to walk into the market and, you know, purchase and do all the other, you know, business related activities. So he walked into the masjid at this time, and he saw there were a few young Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in seated in the masjid. They were seated in the masjid, they were asking dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He heard a few conversations of them asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them sustenance. So Umar radiallahu anhu, having seen them doing this activity, he immediately asked them to do something. He said, go out and work. He insisted them, he commanded them to go out and work. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to give sustenance from the sky. Remember, people have misunderstood the concept of tawakkul. The concept of tawakkul, yes, it is trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to put absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the part that we have forgotten is that we have put trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But remember that that trust will not be effective if we don't put enough hard work. We need to put the hard work that we need to really put in. But we haven't done that. But we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do his part. The sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been that he would help only if we put really good hard work. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it all. So this is moderation. This is what we need to work towards. We need to work towards akhirah and likewise also tread towards leading a good life in this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. I came across a narration of Aisha radiallahu anha explaining about the behavior of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aisha radiallahu anha, look at this narration. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Mind-boggling. The behavior of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May it be an example to our life. May us bring the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our life. So what does Aisha radiallahu anha say? She says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he enters into the masjid, he would be impacted by the thoughts of akhirah. He would be so serious. He would be so seriously focused. So much impact of akhirah he had in his mind. But meanwhile, look what Aisha radiallahu anha says. She says that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the masjid, it is of that nature. But meanwhile, when he comes home, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's behavior used to be such that he will live in this world forever. His behavior was such that as if he will live in this world forever. This is moderation. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. When it is family, you need to be enjoying, you need to be with them, you need to be rejoicing the moment. But when it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the masjid, what we are supposed to do is think about Allah and akhirah, prepare ourselves for that day in the hereafter. We don't have this. Either we are extreme towards one side or the extreme towards the other side. When it comes to our spending, we are either extravagant or we are either stingy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the believers and their spending habits in the Quran, and he says,
وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ قَوَامًا.
Beautiful words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He explains about the habit of those believers when it comes to spending. He says, when they spend, they will never be extravagant. They will never be stingy. وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ قَوَامًا. And when they spend, they will be in the middle part. They will know where to spend and where not to spend. What is the average amount of spending? Where it is smart to be spending and where it is not smart to be spending. SubhanAllah. Likewise, when it comes to mingling with other communities, we are also still extreme. Sometimes we are extreme to the other side. Sometimes we are extreme to the next side. Either some of us, we have isolated ourselves from those other communities, thinking that if we mix with them, we'll melt to become like them. That is one category of people. Another category, the next extreme is, we mix with them, but we melt to become like them. We have two categories of these people in our own country to seek as an example. SubhanAllah. Where is the idea of mixing with them and keeping our identity strong? Where is that idea which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did? My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, recently we saw a chaotic situation when it comes to the leaders of the other faith coming into the masajid and performing an act of worship. Now we need to make this really clear, that we can coexist, yes, we can allow coexistence, but we should never allow that coexistence to go beyond the boundaries so much that we let them inside the masjid and do their activities of worship. Yes, they can come into the masjid, they can watch the activities of the masjid, how we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we do activities in the masjid. Yes, they can do that, but they cannot worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is a clear context given in the Quran. What did he say? It is clearly said in the Quran, I don't recall the word, but the word says very clearly that we should not, the masajid are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should not worship anybody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the masjid. What I would like to say is, before we put this strict limitation upon them entering the masjid, we need to make sure that we don't go to their temple or other people's worship place and do our activities. That is the mistake. We can't go there, we can't call the azan, we can't pray, perform our prayers in their temples and expect them to come to our masjid and not do anything. Why have a double standard? A different standard for us and a different standard for themselves. No, we can't do that. We need to strictly put this limitation so that we don't go beyond a limit. We stay in a moderate way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. A famous person used to say, he used to give an example to mixing and mingling with other communities and to stay moderate. He says, we as Muslims, we need to be like a tea bag and not sugar. A tea bag and not sugar. What are the specialities of these two things? Sugar, when it is put into water and mixed, what happens to the sugar? It dissolves itself completely to become like water. But meanwhile, when you put tea into water, when you mix tea into water, it changes the entire condition of the water. SubhanAllah. We as Muslims, we need to be like that tea bag and not sugar. Sugar, when it's put into water, it dissolves. We should mix with them, yes, but we should not dissolve our identities. We need to be strong in our identities. And likewise, we need to try to change them as much as possible, inshaAllah ta'ala. We need to change them as much as possible. We need to impact their characters. Even if we can't make people like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who accepted Islam and served the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if we can't go to that extent, I think we need to work. We need to mix with them and impact them so much that we create people like Abu Talib. He was not a Muslim, because hidayah is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. We don't have the right to give hidayah, guidance to people. We should create at least people like Abu Talib, who wasn't a Muslim, but he had a good impression about the Muslims, and he also supported the Muslims. We need to create people like that at least. Where are we standing? Let us ask ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. The problem is that in every other matter, likewise, like I said, trending or whether it's mixing with other communities, any single thing that you take, every single thing that you take, we as Muslims, we are too liberal than the liberals themselves, or we are too conservative than the Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. We can't be of that nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran, وَأَقِيمُوا الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُوا الْمِيزَانِ. Beautiful. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Establish balance in your life. Now some people interpret this ayah to be something that relates to business. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not restrict this ayah to business, why do we need to restrict this ayah to business alone? It applies to all our lives. We need to maintain the balance. Another incident that happened in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Beautiful. So in Hajjatul Wada, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once commanded the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in to bring 7 pebbles to stone the Jamarat. So when he commanded this, the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, they dispersed and they went to pick the pebbles. So they came back with the pebbles, and one Sahabi, subhanAllah, he went to the extreme by picking up a lot of pebbles instead of just 7. He in fact brought, not pebbles, rocks. This Sahabi, having brought a lot of rocks, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, throw it away. And he said, Iyakum wal ghulub. O my Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, be careful when it comes to extremism. Don't do this. I commanded you to bring 7 stones, not more than that. I commanded you to bring pebbles, not rocks. We should not go beyond, we should not commit excess in deen. La taghlu fi deenikum. Don't commit excess in your deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that goodness lies in between 2 evil deeds, 2 extremisms. Al-hasanatu bayna sayyatayn. There are 2 extremisms. One is either you do it excess, or one, the other is either you do it lesser than what it deserves. They are the 2 extremes. What is in between is the moderate path. That is what we need to stick to. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fact grant us understanding. The reason why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave that warning that I said, with Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Iyyakum wal ghulu. Be careful with extremism. Why did he say that? Look, if we don't give moderation to the society, to the next generation, it is very risky that Islam will live in the next generation. Number one, if you are too liberal, what will happen is the next generation will lose the roots of Islam. Because they will not know what actually Islam is. And likewise, if you are too conservative, the message for you, it will be okay. I can practice it completely, it's okay. But the next generation, what will they say? They will tell, oh my God, Islam is so tough for me to follow. It is impractical. I can't be doing this anymore. I need to find something practical. This is archaic. And so the comments will continue. If we don't give moderation, this is what will happen. We might have to lose Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fact protect Islam. What do we need to do in order to bring moderation in life? And I'll conclude with that inshaAllah ta'ala. To understand what moderation is, the most essential thing that we need is knowledge. Only if we know both the sides of extremism, you will be able to identify what the moderate way is. If I show you a coin, one side of a coin, and you don't know the other side of the coin, you would not be able to realize that it's a coin if I show you the other side of it. Likewise, we need to understand both sides of extremism so that we can identify what the moderate part is. Let us learn for ourselves. Let us learn the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us equip ourselves with knowledge. The doors of knowledge, subhanAllah, it is closed today. We have oceans of scholars outside waiting for you to deliver. Waiting to deliver. But we haven't opened the doors, created a platform to share the knowledge with you. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, one thing that is also very important, I would like to make note of, is that we need to, before we learn, we need to find people, scholars who are moderate and of neutral nature. That is very essential. Because otherwise, it might spoil the soup. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fact protect us all. Islam is a beautiful religion. Islam is a very practical religion. Islam is a very user-friendly faith. Anybody can practice it. Let us not make it tough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not in any place bring a description for Islam. But in the Quran, in one particular place, he specially brings forth a very distinguishing description. And he says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, we have made your ummah, we have made the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a generation which is moderate. Which is moderate. Let us stick to that moderation which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Let us stick to that and not go beyond and commit excess in deen. Remember that if we had to show this extremism to the world, what would happen is those people who don't know about Islam, they will start thinking that what we show is really what is Islam. Don't leave it to that extent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fact grant us understanding. I would like to conclude with a statement of a great giant. A great giant. I don't know if he's a Muslim, but beautiful words, subhanAllah. What did he say? He said, too much of anything is good for nothing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. And may He unite us in the gardens of paradise, just as how He united us this wonderful afternoon. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the opportunity to bring about all what we spoke about today in our life, as it is very essential for every single one of us. May He give us the opportunity to learn the beautiful deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and grant us the correct understanding of what needs to be brought forth, inshaAllah ta'ala.